640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. At least seven people have died in a 158-vehicle pileup in South Louisiana due to super fog. Some vehicles were engulfed in flames. At least one plunged into the water below. State Police Sergeant Kate Stiegel.
As a result of the poor visibility, around 9 o'clock, we started receiving calls regarding crashes that occurred on I-55. That quickly developed into multiple crashes with multiple vehicles involved.
Governor John Bel Edwards issued a call for blood donors and asked for prayers for those hurt and killed. Hamas has released two more hostages. Last week, it was two Americans. Today, it's two elderly Israeli women. More from CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb.
Gaza, where the death toll continues to spiral at a speed never seen before. Although the desperately needed convoys of humanitarian aid have started making their way in from Egypt after a deal was reached between the U.S. and Israel, each truck carries food for only around 4,000 people, according to the WFP, nowhere near enough for Gaza's population of more than 2 million. As fears continue to grow for the safety of the up to 600 Americans still trapped inside Gaza.
A Horizon flight heading from Everett, Washington to San Francisco last evening was diverted to Portland, Oregon after a man in the jump seat tried to disable the engines. The audio from Broadcastify.com.
The jump seat pilot, who is the extra pilot, they give a ride, tried to shut down the engines. Their emergency landing 4 minutes out.
Hey, both, you could let me know the threat level. Doesn't sound like he's causing an issue in the back right now. I think he's the dude.
Authorities say off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot Joseph Emerson is being held on 83 counts each of attempted murder and reckless endangerment. Actors and studio heads go back to the negotiating table tomorrow after more than 100 days of striking. Their talks ended October 11th when the studio said they were too far apart. Syracuse University pop culture professor Robert Thompson.
They're still off on some of the AI stuff, and they're still off on the minimum wage, which is a different formula than the directors and the writers agreed on.
A new study looks at the safest and least safest states in the country. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The survey weighed five key factors to rank all 50 states: personal and residential safety, financial safety, road safety, workplace safety, and emergency preparedness. At the bottom of the list,
Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Cassandra Happy with Wallet Hub says the low ranking was mostly due to financial safety.
Median credit score, all three states ranked rather low.
The top ranked states, Vermont, Maine, and New Hampshire, mostly due to the amount of emergency medical care available per capita.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Investigators are reopening two cold cases in Menominee Falls after DNA evidence provided answers from beyond the grave. The cases involve the murders of 19-year-old Diane Olkwitz in 1966 and 15-year-old Terry Erdman in the early 1970s. DNA found on the victim's clothing was recently matched to a truck driver who made deliveries to a business where Olkwitz worked. That man died in 2008 and was buried at Holy Cross Cemetery. That's where investigators exhumed his body to gather evidence. The jury trial of the Franklin woman facing charges for allegedly poisoning a family friend and stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from her started today. 37-year-old Jesse Kurzewitz is charged in Waukesha County. She's accused of using eye drops to poison the Pewaukee victim in 2018 and stealing almost $300,000 from her. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
Oh, right!
right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Global electricity markets without any further climate policies.
Anything we can do without having to do any more work, any more policies, is probably a very good thing. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, crazy Mike Lindell's back at it again. Evidently, he's got some weird weapon of mass deception or some web design-based thing. He's calling it a WMD. It's a wireless monitoring device that he wants crazy people to take to the polls with him to see if there's web access, if there's internet there. Now, the folks in Kentucky are going, no, that's illegal. Don't do that. It could be a felony. And this is where I keep coming back to. One, crazy Mike Lindell seems to have a lot of money just to throw around it and waste. But two, always looking for a way to hold voters down, to suppress people's right to vote, and cause chaos in our electoral process. Question is, how do we ensure that everyone gets the vote, that we push people to the polls so that their voice is heard? How do we do that? Well, we do that by investing in smart policies and getting people, well, organized. And here to share some thoughts on how we're going to do that, I've asked our good friend Heather Booth to come talk with us. She's an organizer and strategic campaign consultant with the folks over at Democracy Partnership. She's got a great new program called Volunteer Blue. And we're gonna find out a little bit about that. Heather, thanks for taking time for us.
God, solidarity with you, Rick. It's wonderful to be on your program.
Because I appreciate
you know that if we organize, we change the world. And that's the key thing. We've got to do the work, and then we can change this world.
No, I've been saying, you know, for at least 2 years now, if Joe Biden's gonna reunite the country, we gotta reunionize it. That's how we reunite this country. We need to get people back together. But let's talk about this program that you're working on, this Volunteer Blue. There's a website, volunteerblue.org. I hope folks will take that out. Walk me through what this is.
Well, it reflects the time of rising enthusiasm for labor support, for solidarity with labor, but also rising concern about a whole array of issues. But Volunteer Blue is a website that can link volunteers who are not with an organization already and link them with the elections that are coming up. Volunteer Blue is a coalition of 16 pro-democracy organizations that specialize in recruiting and mobilizing volunteers for specific elections. And right now we're focused on Ohio and Virginia. And the Virginia election is really critical. As your listeners may know, the Democrats, by a narrow majority, control the state Senate, and the Republicans, by a narrow majority, control the state house. There's a Republican governor, Glenn Youngkin. If there's a Republican sweep, he might even run for president. And that's even a really dangerous situation for unions and for those who care about reproductive freedom, Virginia being the last state, last southern state, unless till DC becomes a state, that still provides reproductive freedom for everyone.
Yeah, and that's a big issue also in Ohio as well. I mean, you know, fortunately, the polling in Ohio shows that, you know, the right to choose is maybe gonna survive in Ohio, which, again, I think one of the reasons you chose Ohio along with Virginia.
Yes, and in Ohio, there's an effort to put that into the Constitution, reproductive freedom into the Constitution. But also, if we get out a big vote, it can also boost up Sherrod Brown, a real working class hero, will be running next year in the Senate election.
No, I love
Sharon. What we've got is we've got 16 groups, and some of them are large field operations like Activate America, Field Team 6, Sister District, Swing Left, Grassroots Democrats HQ, and others. They've come together and made an easy to navigate website, which is volunteerblue.org. You click on to that, and you can choose what kind of work you want to do in the election. Is it making phone calls? Is it texting people? Is it writing letters? Is it going in person? Is it doing the GOTV effort and getting out the vote in these final critical weeks?
Now, it isn't one of these things where I'm going to sign up and no one's ever going to call me again, because this is part of the problem that I've heard from people who want to volunteer, especially people who are in like solid red states where, you know, it doesn't matter what they can do locally, but they want to do stuff in other states. I've heard so many horror stories. This isn't going to be like that, is it?
Oh, Rick, you've got it. And not only is it not like that, a personal coach will call you up if you want. You just click that box. And you can say, this is the state I want to work in. Right now, it's a test project for Virginia and Ohio. You can click on the kind of activity you want to do. Is it texting? Is it phone calling? Is it writing letters? Is it being there in person? And then you can also say, I need some help. And a personal coach will call you and walk you through what's needed in order to volunteer for the length of time that you've got. You may only have a couple of hours, you may have a couple of days, or you may have many days to really make this election count. And Volunteer Blue can connect you with the campaigns for all the issues you care about, for labor rights, for women's rights, for civil rights, for voting rights, for defending democracy itself.
No, this is, you know, they say this about every election. You know, this is the most important election. This is the most important of our lifetime. This could be the last election. There's all that stuff out there. And you know, wherever your belief structure is, I think every election is important. And having an engaged, educated, active electorate is so very important. So what you're doing, I think, is really, really important work in getting people off their couches, out of their silos, and into some activities. I think it's really important to get people participating.
Oh, Rick, what you're saying is so important. And the labor movement has known how to get out the vote, but there's so many people who may not be connected yet with a union or may not be connected yet with an organization, but they're concerned. And especially young people who care so much about the issues, whether it's climate or safe gun laws or reproductive freedom or student debt. Whatever their issues, they may not see how to connect with the elections. And Volunteer Blue will provide you a way to work on those issues, drive that issue into the election, and with a personal coach and assistant to help you figure out exactly what you can do and where you can be most effective.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially for candidates who are further down the ballot, who don't have the big checks. This kind of volunteerism can help, you know, staff campaigns of people who, you know, quite frankly, don't have the ability to hire large numbers of people, and especially people. And this is where I don't think we spend enough time on, you know, people who are, you know, they may not win, But we need to fight in every district, in every election, to ensure that ideas get out there. So for me, you know, even in places that, you know, the polling may be a little off, still getting people to man those campaigns, to fight in those districts that right now may be, you know, swung way too far to one side or the other. For me, this is an opportunity to do some of that.
Oh, you're making such a good point. But in these two elections, in Ohio and in Virginia, we can win. I mean, we really are within what the pollsters call the margin of error, but we often call the margin of effort. We have the numbers to win if we organize, if we contact those voters, if we get out our supporters. In Virginia, there are 140 races that are up. There are about 20 that are really marginal and will depend on the control of the state legislature and the state Senate. And it will make such a difference in Virginia and be a boost really around the country. We can win a small number of races, a small number of votes, and each volunteer can make a difference. And the same in Ohio, Rick, just as you said, Ohio, we are within the margin of error, or as we say, the margin of effort that we put in to winning in Ohio. So both of these are not just symbolic efforts. These are real opportunities for victory, but it depends on us getting out the vote.
You're listening to the Rick Smith Show with Heather Booth. Heather's an organizer and strategic campaign consultant with Democracy Partners. We're talking about their Volunteer Blue campaign. You want to check out their website, volunteerblue.org. We'll get links out on social media on how you can participate, how you can get involved, and maybe save Ohio and Virginia from insanity and, well, you know, right-wing lunacy. So walk me through, if you would, Heather, you know, this process again, because I want to make sure people feel comfortable with, you know, when you go there, I'm going to click on, you know, I've never done this before. Where's it going to take me?
But Rick, I really love you. By the way, we all should be supporting you and this program. You are doing such great work, and we are so thrilled that you are getting out the message. If you go to volunteer.org, you'll see a website, and then it will ask, where would you like to volunteer? We've got now Ohio and Virginia. This is a test because next year we'll roll this out more broadly and allow people to work in any state they want in the country. So you don't have to be in the state. You can still do work remotely. Or you can click a box and say, I'd like to do this kind of work. I would like to make phone calls. I'd like to text. I'd like to write postcards. It's still not too late for the postcards. I could go in person. I have a car. I speak Spanish. And it'll ask those levels of questions and then also ask, would you like assistance? And a coach will call you if you check that box and follow up and say, well, I'd like to text, but I don't really know about texting, or I'd like to make phone calls, but could I do it from my home? They can even set up a system where you can do it from your home, from your own computer, from your own cell phone.
Yep. And if you're technologically savvy just a little bit, you hook your phone up to your laptop and the numbers will just appear. I've done things like this before. It's amazing what we can do and how simple it is to get people involved, which is why I think what you're doing with Volunteer Blue is so important. The website, again, volunteerblue.org. We'll get links out on social media on how we can do this. Last question I've got for you in going through this. You know, we go back to what I started off with. You know, this is the most important election ever. We're told this all the time. I got to tell you, you know, we're getting to that point where, you know, every election is the most important ever. And there's no sitting one out, is there?
Well, right now, this country is on a knife's edge between freedom to vote, freedom, reproductive freedom, freedom to even have elections that count, freedom to thrive, freedom to have unions, versus an authoritarian, hate-filled, often violent rule. And if that authoritarian alternative comes into power, they may take out what small guardrails we have for what democracy we have, as much as we need to improve that democracy. as much as we need to build the unions, as much as we need to give people confidence we can govern our own country.
There you go. I'm going to jump out on the limb and say, if fascism scares you, go to volunteerblue.org. Again, we'll get links out on social media on how you can check out what they do at Volunteer Blue. But Heather, always great talk with you. I'd love to know how this works out. Hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Love you truly.
Thanks so much, our good friend Heather Booth. Again, remember, check out the website, volunteerblue.org. Back after this. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
There's an interesting story out of Oklahoma. Evidently, the attorney general there has filed a lawsuit to try and stop what will be the first publicly funded religious school in the country. Evidently, one of the religious folk group, they are starting a charter school. And you've got this this lawsuit with the Oklahoma Supreme at the level of the Oklahoma Supreme Court against the Oklahoma Statewide Virtual Charter School Board after three of the board members this week signed a contract for St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual Cyber Charter School. That's right. The Archdiocese of Oklahoma City has sponsored the cyber charter, the virtual it's cyber charter, the virtual charter school that will be run by the Catholic Church. And look, at the end of the day, that was never the intention. In fact, you know, I go back to, you know, my high school history class, and I remember, I think it was James Madison, who his first veto was giving tax dollars to the churches. And you, because there was a bill to help the churches to do some of this stuff, to do good work. And look, the churches, you know, in some cases do good work, you know, to build hospitals and schools and, you know, old age homes and, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, the calling, you know, take care of the sick and feed the hungry and all that stuff. If you really believe it, you know, then you go, well, you know, the funding is, you know, just helpful. But one of the first, I think it was the first veto by Madison was to give money to the churches to do the good works, because his view was that by giving the church the money that you would corrupt the church. And that's been kind of the way the country has been for a very long time. Our thought process has been, you don't want it, you want that invisible wall, that wall of separation between church and state. And my concern is, and again, you listen to people, how crazy they get, you know, Muslims and their Sharia law. Well, I'm just as freaked out by Christian Sharia law, because there are some whack jobs on the religious extreme that really are frightening. especially when you start talking about reproductive freedom, you start talking about, you know, sex education, you start talking about, you know, human interaction, anything. I mean, I can see us going in a direction, and I gotta wonder, you know, the moneyed interests here, what kind of things that they will do to children. Now, again, I went to Catholic school as a child. My mother was able to pay the tuition by cleaning the rectory and you know, doing a whole bunch of things that they needed done. And you know, that was the charity, but you know, she worked for it. She did a lot of work for it, probably more than she probably did more work than the tuition cost. But I remember, you know, going to Catholic school, and the abuse was just, you know, there are nuns that, especially one, that if I knew where they buried her, I'd dig her up just so I could do her in again. I shouldn't have said that. But no, I mean, there were some, you know, for instance, I had a nun who, if you acted up, you had to kneel on hard peas and hold Bibles out to your side while kneeling on these hard peas. So it's not bad enough that your knees hurt from kneeling on these hard peas, that your arms start to fall because you got the Bibles that you're holding up. And the thought process, and I guess there's some thought behind it, other than just being cruel, evil succubuses. But the one nun said, if you're going to be stupid, you might as well be strong because you're going to have to eat. And I guess there's some thought that went into that, other than just being sexually repressed, angry human beings. Can you tell I got a problem? Can you tell that I carry a little, and I don't talk about trauma very often. And I'm definitely not just a survivor, but you know, went through some stuff. I don't know that I want to pay for that with my tax dollars. I don't know that I want to institutionalize the kind of craziness that we see in some of these snake handler churches, for instance. And I think I've told the story of a friend of mine. I have lots of friends who have lots of very interesting lives. But he was a guy who reached into boxes and picked up snakes. Don't understand it, but hey, good on you, buddy. If you want to reach into the box and have them bite you, that's on you. And I did ask, I said, you know, what happens if they bite you? And he's like, well, you know, we got the anti-venom in the back, which is dumb to me. But at least he had thought it out. Because supposedly reaching into the box to handle the serpents and handle the snakes are, you know, a true test of your faith, true test of God's, you know, acceptance of you. And if the snake bites you and you die, well, that's God's will. And I asked him that. I said, well, if it's God's will that you get bitten by the snake, aren't you supposed to die? And why are you usurping God's will? And he's like, no, you know, if God didn't want us to do that, he wouldn't have given us the ability to make the anti-venom, which is very, very convenient. And this is the kind of mental gymnastics that I have with extreme faith. Look, I believe, and I believe in the teachings of Jesus, and you know, help the poor and heal the